Limitless love. Prejudice cannot prevail. Mark 4:16-17 says, "And these are they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution ariseth, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." Mark 4:16-17. In the Living Translation, it says, "The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word." All right, let's go ahead and take a look at another translation. Just to get another clarity that either the person does not have commitment on his own self, or, of course, the affliction comes because of the word, or the enemy is causing an attack on them. If the person believes that they're going to be better off staying away, now that's a problem. The Message Bible says, "And some are like the seeds that land in the gravel. When they first hear the word, they respond with great enthusiasm. But there is such shallow soil of character that the emotions wear off and some difficulties arrive. There is nothing to show for it." Very good, very good. Let's try another translation. Let's try the Passion Translation. It says, "But because their hearts fail to sink a deep root, they don't endure for long. For when trouble or persecution comes on account of the message, they immediately wilt and fall away." All right, that's enough. Let's go ahead. The lecture says, Once the word of God's love has been planted in your heart, the devil will try to use the meanness and bigotry of men to get it out. He'll send someone to make a degrading remark about your nationality or skin color. He'll send some poor, ignorant person who is prejudiced against your gender, church affiliation, or family tree. If you're not alert, you'll find that prejudice getting under your skin. You'll find it pressuring you to get angry and bitter towards that person, or even against a group of people that once represents. You'll find yourself getting offended. Someone might say, "I can't help being offended at prejudice." If you walk in love, you can, because the Bible says love doesn't pay any attention to a suffered wrong. Love doesn't take offense. That doesn't mean you have to agree with a bigot. It doesn't mean you can't take issue with prejudiced thoughts and speak out against them. But it does mean you can allow yourself to get personally put out with people you can't allow. But it does mean you can't allow yourself to get personally put out with people. You can't allow their prejudice to become an excuse for you to act or speak unkindly about them. Actually, offense is a sign of fear. If you're offended, it's because you're afraid that person can harm you in some way. You're afraid they can rob you of safety, prosperity, or promotion. People believe that's what prejudice does. And generally speaking, they're right. But the fact is, prejudice cannot in any way harm or hinder the child of God who is standing in faith and living in the blessing. The biggest bigot in the world has never been able to stop God from promoting and prospering his people. If prejudice could have prevailed over the blessing, Joseph's social standing as a slave would have prevented him from rising to power in Egypt. Daniel's nationality would have kept him from being a ruler in Babylon. Deborah's gender would have stopped her from being a judge of Israel. Gideon's family tree would have kept him from being hailed as a mighty man of valor. The list could go on and on. The Bible is full of examples where the blessing promoted and prospered people despite the bigotry of the day. It is full of people who walk in love even in the most difficult situations. Through faith in God, they triumph over the prejudice of men. Amen. Even in your dreams, people would come and try to bug you. I had a dream the other day that I was giving a couple of guys a ride, and we were three of us stuffed in the front van. The van was new, or the SUV, and it was mine, and it was silver. And I pulled over at a store or something to get something so we can leave the area. I was trying to help these two guys, and I heard the van start and then take off. And I felt humiliated in my dream. So I tried to get a hold of him and say, get the guard so he won't let him pass. And people were so disorganized, they couldn't find the phone number to the front gate. After a while, one of my relatives brought my van back. And here you go, with a good heart, and him and his son. But after a while, I thought about it and how I started thanking God. And it just dissipated. And I did understand that the enemy was trying to attack me in feelings of inferiority, which always have plagued me, right? And I'm sure we got them. So the trick is, thank you, God. Say failure is good on my part. I trust it. Trying to be too helpful. Whatever it is, the enemy seems to attack in reverse as far as how God blesses. If the enemy can come to us through other people, amazing, huh? He can come in many ways to get under our skin. So as soon as we say, well, thank you, God, that happened. Thank you, God, that happened. It just dissipates. The other preventive maintenance is that I thought about is we go after the enemy. Yep. After we hear the word of God, we have to surround it with singing, praising the Lord, reading it, rejoicing over it. How about protecting what we just heard by writing it down and reading it, getting a glass of water, blessing the water, taking communion, speaking out loud. And the enemy, we come against the enemy. We don't just sit there waiting for him to come to us. We actually change the molecules around us by saying, praise the Lord, today's the best day of my life because Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. We have an offense. Amen. One of the best sleeps and times I have is when I read the book of John the night before. And a little bit in the morning, I can feel the power of God putting me to sleep, perfect sleep. And I can feel the power the next morning that's coming out of the Bible. That's because I've been in the presence of the God Almighty, the Lord, when I read His Word right before I go to sleep. Now, I tried it with different books. I don't get that same effect. In other words, other books than the Bible. The Bible is so powerful, so pregnant with God Himself that it affects that evening and the next day, and it's a protective mechanism. Amen. All right, our next scripture for the, that was the April 23rd is, go for the overflow. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. 2 Peter 1:19. limitless love. Prejudice cannot prevail. Mark 4:16-17 says, "And these are they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." Mark 4:16-17. In the Living Translation, it says, "The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word." All right, let's go ahead and take a look at another translation. Just to get another clarity that either the person does not have commitment on his own self, or of course the affliction comes because of the word, or the enemy is causing an attack on them. If the person believes that they're going to be better off staying away, now that's a problem. The Message Bible says, "And some are like the seeds that land in the gravel. When they first hear the word, they respond with great enthusiasm. But there is such shallow soil of character that the emotions wear off and some difficulties arrive. There is nothing to show for it." Very good, very good. Let's try another translation. Let's try the Passion Translation. It says, "But because their hearts fail to sink a deep root, they don't endure for long. For when trouble or persecution comes on account of the message, they immediately wilt and fall away." All right, that's enough. Let's go ahead. The lecture says, once the word of God's love has been planted in your heart, the devil will try to use the meanness and bigotry of men to get it out. He'll send someone to make a degrading remark about your nationality or skin color. He'll send some poor, ignorant person who is prejudiced against your gender, church affiliation, or family tree. If you're not alert, you'll find that prejudice getting under your skin. You'll find it pressuring you to get angry and bitter towards that person, or even against a group of people that once represents. You'll find yourself getting offended. Someone might say, "I can't help being offended at prejudice." If you walk in love, you can, because the Bible says love doesn't pay any attention to a suffered wrong. Love doesn't take offense. That doesn't mean you have to agree with a bigot. It doesn't mean you can't take issue with prejudiced thoughts and speak out against them. But it does mean you can allow yourself to get personally put out with people you can't allow. But it does mean you can't allow yourself to get personally put out with people. You can't allow their prejudice to become an excuse for you to act or speak unkindly about them. Actually, offense is a sign of fear. If you're offended, it's because you're afraid that person can harm you in some way. You're afraid they can rob you of safety, prosperity, or promotion. People believe that's what prejudice does. And generally speaking, they're right. But the fact is, prejudice cannot in any way harm or hinder the child of God who is standing in faith and living in the blessing. The biggest bigot in the world has never been able to stop God from promoting and prospering his people. If prejudice could have prevailed over the blessing, Joseph's social standing as a slave would have prevented him from rising to power in Egypt. Daniel's nationality would have kept him from being a ruler in Babylon. Deborah's gender would have stopped her from being a judge of Israel. Gideon's family tree would have kept him from being hailed as a mighty man of valor. The list could go on and on. The Bible is full of examples where the blessing promoted and prospered people despite the bigotry of the day. It is full of people who walk in love even in the most difficult situations. Through faith in God, they triumph over the prejudice of men. Amen. Even in your dreams, people would come and try to bug you. I had a dream the other day that I was giving a couple of guys a ride, and we were three of us stuffed in the front van. The van was new, or the SUV, and it was mine, and it was silver. And I pulled over at a store or something to get something so we can leave the area. I was trying to help these two guys, and I heard the van start and then take off. And I felt humiliated in my dream. So I tried to get a hold of him and said, get the guard so he won't let him pass. And people were so disorganized, they couldn't find the phone number to the front gate. After a while, one of my relatives brought my van back. And here you go, with a good heart, and him and his son. But after a while, I thought about it and how I started thanking God. And it just dissipated. And I did understand that the enemy was trying to attack me in feelings of inferiority, which always have plagued me, right? And I'm sure we got them. So the trick is, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Say, failure is good. On my part, I trust it. Trying to be too helpful. Whatever it is, the enemy seems to attack in reverse as far as how God blesses. If the enemy can come to us through other people, amazing, huh? He can come in many ways to get under our skin. So as soon as we say, well, thank you, God, that happened. Thank you, God, that happened. It just dissipates. The other preventive maintenance is that I thought about is we go after the enemy. Yep. After we hear the word of God, we have to surround it with singing, praising the Lord, reading it, rejoicing over it. How about protecting what we just heard by writing it down and reading it, getting a glass of water, blessing the water, taking communion, speaking out loud. And the enemy, we come against the enemy. We don't just sit there waiting for him to come to us. We actually change the molecules around us by saying, praise the Lord, today's the best day of my life because Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. We have an offense. Amen. One of the best sleeps and times I have is when I read the book of John the night before. And a little bit in the morning, I can feel the power of God putting me to sleep, perfect sleep. And I can feel the power the next morning that's coming out of the Bible. That's because I've been in the presence of the God Almighty, the Lord, when I read His Word right before I go to sleep. Now, I tried it with different books. I don't get that same effect. In other words, other books than the Bible. The Bible is so powerful, so pregnant with God Himself, that it affects that evening and the next day, and it's a protective mechanism. Amen. All right, our next scripture for the that was the April 22nd, April 23rd is, go for the overflow. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. 2 Peter 1:19.